When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Sean, you're muted.
It would help if I was unmuted. Getting used to the new mic. Not that I didn't do that a lot before. I muted myself a lot before, too. But what's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is September 30th, 2024. Leave a thumbs up. Subscribe. We got a lot of great stuff for you. I interviewed the Hardy Boys last week. Had a really good interview with C.W. Anderson of ECW. Check that out as well. We're going to have a lot more this week. Bad Blood review with Minnie. Then next week, we got AEW, Wrestle Dream, back-to-back weekends. But last week, you saw Phil and Denise did a great show here. So hopefully, you guys are ready to see me again, by God. A little note, get in your Super Chats, get in your Humper Chats. Whatever we make in Super Chats and Humper Chats over the next week, I will donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund. So please do that. Get in your Super Chats, Humper Chats. Get your questions in. Also, if you'd rather donate directly, I know a lot of people prefer to do that. I mean, I would actually prefer that. You can send me a screenshot of your donation and we'll read your question. Big thank you to Luis, our moderator. Denise, how you doing?
I'm doing great, honestly. I'm feeling good. Feeling good. Today was a
feeling
good raw.
You feeling oozy?
Nah, bro. I'm feeling meaty. Are you kidding me after that?
Meaty, huh? Okay.
Yeah, if meaty is a feeling, I'm feeling meaty.
All right. Crazy 101.
Meaty is now a feeling. That's it. It's a feeling.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, listen.
You can feel, what is it, oozy? What is it again? Oozy? I mean,
listen, you can use bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL and feel meaty anytime. But Crazy 101 says Okada versus Danielson for the world title for Dynamite. Yeah, I think somebody said, why'd they do this? Well, last year when they faced each other at, I think, a Forbidden Door, you had an Okada that was preserving himself for the G1. So I think that'll be fun. I would imagine this week will be a big Dynamite. I think they're closing in on announcing the TV deal, but I have my issues with it. Get rid of these extra damn titles if you're just going to have the champions compete for the world title as well. I'm so sick of seeing that element of it. The match is going to be great, but less titles in AEW is what I need for sure.
When I saw this announced, my first instinct was, oh man, we really are getting like all of the Bryan Danielson matches like out of the way, because he's pretty much coming to a close with his career. So it feels like, well, now that we can, let's do it while we can, you know, do it while we have it. So that's sort of what that match, that part three match sort of feels like. But no, the Dynamite show this Wednesday, it's looking like it's shaping up to be pretty good, because you got this match, you got the freaking Will Ospreay Ricochet match, the Hangman match, then there's the Brit match. I mean, there's a lot happening. There's a lot going down on the show.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Meet Norma says, Joe Burrow is starting on my fantasy team. A-Rod is on the bench, about to get dropped. Let's crank. Football was great tonight. Meet forever. Yeah, I'm happy for the Lions. They're probably my favorite NFC team. They're doing really well. Bengals finally picked up a win. They're probably going to get their asses kicked on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. Last Monday was not a good time. But Jonathan Corona sends a couple of them. He says, what do you guys prefer? LED post or no LED post? Sean, do you know why WWE used LED post? Do you think we'll see rock and roll song for WWE superstars like Pat uses Seven Nation Army? I think eventually we'll see some more licensed stuff used for hype videos and promo packages. I don't think we'll see a ton of themes that way, but usually when they don't use the LED post, they're doing something like collapsing the ring, Denise.
Yeah, I know. I think everybody, it was a dead giveaway. I mean, people were already expecting it, but it was a dead giveaway once people saw that the, you know, the ring post changed. They were like, oh yeah, it's official. We're going to get the ring collapsing bit. And I always go back to, obviously, when Brock Lesnar and Big Show did it, and I will never forget that. I was in fifth grade when it happened, and I remember going to school the next day, and all of a sudden, everybody was watching wrestling. I was no longer the weird girl that watched wrestling, because everybody showed up that day and was like, did you see the ring collapsing? Did you see the ring collapsing? And I, one of my few memories, my few good memories from middle school. So that was a cool day.
Jonathan Corona also says, wanted to say what's up, Denise and Sean, before I leave for Japan this Thursday. First time flying a 10-11 hour flight, getting there Friday afternoon Japan time. Denise, what's the longest flight you've been on? Mine was London.
Mine was Russia. It took a long ass time to get to Russia. I felt like I was there forever. And my longest layover was 14 hours in France. And I stayed at the airport. And what's worse is that they had the seats where they have the armrest, but they don't move. Like, they had no seats with no armrest. Like, all of them had armrests. So there was never a point where I could like lay down. And so 14 hours in France, man, that was rough in the airport. That was rough.
Yeah, the longest airport experience I had was just my overnight to Grand Slam a few years ago when I got delayed for 12 hours. But
where you lived at the airport that day, I remember that.
Yeah, it's funny because I flew back into that terminal last week and I got like PTSD seeing the same Shake Shack there. And then I was so mad, Denise. I rounded the corner and I saw that they have the Chase Sapphire Lounge there. I have a Chase Sapphire card now. If that would have existed 3 years ago, I would have just been chilling all day.
How sad.
It was very sad. It was very sad.
I've never gone into any of those lounges. Like, the only credit card I have is the wait, I have a Chase Sapphire card.
I know why.
I have a Chase Sapphire card.
I know why you have that Capital One card.
Yo, that Capital One card came in clutch, okay? I got myself Taylor Swift LA tickets thanks to that Capital One credit card.
The biggest mistake that I ever made was admitting that I had one publicly, because then five Swifties were hitting me up trying to get me to get stuff for them. But
I want an American Express card, because sometimes people use that one too. Like, you got to have everything nowadays.
Nobody uses American Express for
anything. Do you know how many freaking pre-sale tickets they do for American Express? They do a bunch.
They better.
No, I'm up to date.
It's the only way that people are going to use American Express.
But it's hard to get concert tickets now for anybody. It's really hard.
But Fightful Select had a couple of reports today. One very good, one not so great. Fightful Select, best $5 in the business or $54 a year. Please subscribe. You get a bunch of podcasts, a Discord, and then you get stories about... You know it's all about... But Adam Cole looks like he's on his way back, Denise. Like, we could all tell when he got hurt immediately that... this is probably not great, but you thought maybe a sprained ankle, something like that. Even when he was sidelined, I don't think any of us expected over a year. Adam Cole coming back. What are you thinking?
Man, well, I got to tell you, the Undisputed Kingdom has not really... Is that even still a thing?
Technically, yeah. Yeah, they were on Grand Slam. They were on Grand Slam, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I mean, that should tell you everything, man. I've gotten to the point where I don't know or care about the Undisputed Kingdom. It hasn't necessarily been riveting for me at all. So, I mean, I hope for the very best for Adam Cole when he comes back, but it's gonna, you know, take a while because the last thing that I saw him in with MJF wasn't necessarily that great. In fact, it was one of the weakest things that we had seen on AEW programming. That was unfortunate, but I hope that when he comes back, he's in a good feud that's interesting and that actually works and keeps people's attention. So that's where I'm at right now.
We also had some very unfortunate news regarding Killswitch, aka Luchasaurus. He was found by his fiance collapsed on Friday. He was taken to the hospital. His blood oxygen levels were all messed up, and they found out he had double pneumonia. He is on oxygen. He is recovering, looking like over a month recovery. In-ring return or in-ring future, uncertain right now. I saw something. It was just incredible. That was like, why would you say that? Because the information came from the household. I'm not going to post shit like that without it coming directly from someone like that. Illness and stuff like that, I generally stay away from, but he is recovering. But I mean, that's scary stuff, Denise, especially considering the nature of which we've lost a couple wrestlers and stuff with these unforeseen circumstances, but hoping that he gets better very soon.
Yeah, of course, especially because, you know, I know obviously it's a lot more rare now, but COVID is still a thing. And the last thing you want is to have to like deal with that. And so, you know, all of that type of stuff is scary. I've thankfully have never experienced pneumonia, but everybody here knows, like, even when you just get like a little bit sick, if you get like any sort of like even a freaking infection, a throat infection could be like awful. Now imagine pneumonia in your lungs, like that's just awful. So sending like really wishing him the best of health. And the good thing is that he is going to recover. But yeah, that just sounds awful.
Indeed. Orlando says, thoughts on the Vince doc? I felt it was information that most wrestling fans knew. Well, Bill Simmons said they were producing it for a mass audience, not hardcore wrestling fans. Jimmy and I are going to have a full review on The Hump on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. That is our new start time. But Denise, have any thoughts?
So I will tell you this. I feel like, so the whole time I kept thinking to myself, damn, I really want to know what non-wrestling fans think. That's kind of how I came out of this. And believe it or not, my aunt called me on Sunday morning and she said, oh my God, Denise, she's all, I watched the, and this is how non-wrestling fan she is, okay? She said, oh, I've watched the Mike McMahon documentary. And I was like, oh Vince.
My God.
And that's how she doesn't know any of these people. She does not know wrestling. She does not know any of these. She called Triple H, Triple X, the whole thing.
Wow.
But that's how far, like, no wrestling she knows. But she watched the documentary with her husband. And the first, like, she was talking to me about how, like, the first thing that she mentioned was that she felt bad for Shane McMahon, that she felt bad that, you know, he had to do like all of these things just to like gain Vince McMahon's approval. She didn't know about like any of this stuff. She didn't know anything about like the Janelle Grant stuff. She told me that the thing that she found the hardest to watch was the Owen Hart stuff. She said that she was so surprised. She had no idea that that even happened. She had no idea that they continued the show. She couldn't believe it. And then she said, Denise, I don't think that that he would have continued the match had it been his son that fell, because you know how in the documentary Brett said, oh, if it would have been Shane McMahon's down there in the ring, you know, he would have ended the show. My aunt was like, no, I don't think so, Denise. I don't think he would have stopped the show. Yeah. And so it was very interesting to hear my aunt's perspective of this, because again, she was so shocked. She even told me she's going to start following the story after this, because she wasn't following any of the Vince McMahon stuff. Like, she hardly knew anything about him. So that was very entertaining to hear her thoughts on that.
Guys, leave a thumbs up. We would appreciate that. Meet Norman says, RIP Mutombo and Pete Rose, your thoughts. Dikembe Mutombo, I grew up in the greatest era of centers in NBA history. And he is one of the greats, one of the best defensive players that I've ever seen. Pete Rose is a legend in our area, regardless of the betting stuff and all that. But, you know, some of the stuff that came to light in later years, not a fan, appreciative of what he did for Cincinnati in in that sense, from a baseball perspective, not happy with the shit that emerged of him, sleeping with a minor and stuff like that. Not cool. Of course, he had the WWE connection. He appeared on screen a number of times and did stuff with Rikishi and Kane. And yeah, it's what a lot of wrestling fans knew him for. But man, Dikembe Mutombo. And also this past week, John Ashton of Beverly Hills Cop fame. I love the Beverly Hills Cop movies. Like, they were my favorites. And they didn't have him in the third one in the 90s. And then they just made a fourth one this year. And it was so good to see him back in there, especially considering the fact that unfortunately he passed away. So sending our love to the friends, family, fans of all of those gentlemen. But we're going to talk WWE Raw. Jonathan Cronin says won't be here for 2 weeks. Well, hopefully you get back safe. He says, Sean, Denise, Luis, what shows or movies or series should I watch on Netflix during this 10, 11 hour flight? I'll tell you what show he should watch. Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but is it on Netflix?
Yes.
I don't fucking know.
It's been on Netflix for a decade.
Look at me. I'm so shocked. Sean, Denise, I'm sorry that I didn't watch Breaking Bad. I didn't live in a town with 200 people with nothing to do. I actually went outside.
Washington lives in Denver.
Yeah, there's only like how many? It's still not where I live, bro. I have shit to do, all right? I'm sorry that you get around to watching Breaking Bad.
Are you of the impression that nobody in LA or Netflix or like New York or any major cities watched Breaking Bad? Are you of the?
Of course they did, but that doesn't mean that I didn't have other things going on in my life.
You didn't have shit going on in your life, Denise.
I had more shit going on than you did.
I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that.
I stay home all day and go on my little scoops and do this all day.
I wasn't watching.
Literally, you all day, every day.
I wasn't doing scoops in 2007, Denise.
But I bet you were online fighting with trolls. You were like,
I was definitely one of the trolls back then.
See, there you go. I knew you were doing stuff. See, you were at home trolling people, watching Breaking Bad. I was outside having a what year did it come out?
You were not going outside.
What year did
Denise.
It come out? What year did it come out?
Denise outside.
You what were year did it come out?
You were wearing those $20 boots for sure. I know you were.
What year did it come out?
Denise's boots got that much tread on them, guys. They look like a Jeep tire. They're insane. Denise's shoes got.
You can always count on me to have boots, okay?
Guys, Denise's shoes got more tread than my Ford Bronco does. It's
I don't be talking shit on my boots, okay?
Denise got those 20,000 mile boots from Goodyear.
Well, boys. Then give me a freaking race and I can afford some freaking Louboutins.
Denise goes.
I'm tired
Denise
of the
goes
brown
to
heel.
Ken Towery's
red heel.
Denise goes to Michelin and she was like, "I need the all seasons, please." Nah. And they're like, "It doesn't rain here." She goes, "I don't care. I need all of them.
Fine. Give me a damn raise and I can afford more than $20 Amazon shoes."
Denise, give you a raise. The tread on your boots give you all the raise you need. What are you talking about? Go watch Breaking Bad. You
no,
tell Denise,
now I don't want to. You know I was gonna, but now that Will put that out there, now I'm not gonna.
You tell Denise to touch grass, not through all the rubber on her shoes. Ain't no way.
Nah. That's because you were at home trolling, eating your freaking leather, doing absolutely nothing.
Now I was getting shots up.
Out having a life.
2007, I was getting shots up at the gym. That's what I was doing. Tyler Manning says, best Raw in a while. 3 hour Raw era is done for now, Denise. Listen, I'm excited. How are you feeling? You look like.
Are you kidding me? By this time, next week, we're already going to be done with the post show. No, wait, hold on. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll be done with the post show
this time next week.
Well, this show kicked off with a Jey Uso promo. It was just, him thanking the fans. It felt like he got lost during the promo and he just kind of.
I thought he was just trying to sell the fact that he was being serious, but I wasn't sure, but I did cross my mind that he might have forgotten. But then I thought, how can he forget the part where he's supposed to thank his mom?
I mean, I don't know, but He talked about what he had been through, and it felt like he got lost. But then Bron Breakker shows up, and Bron Breakker is like, hey, you know what? You were the better man last week, and I can accept that. Some babyface vibes and admitting to loss in a clean loss also is a very babyface move, Denise. Now, later on, we see Bron Breakker go face-to-face with Gunther. And to me, that is the agenda. And I saw people saying, well, neither one of those guys can lose. Good. That's what I want to see in wrestling. Two guys who you go, oh, man, neither one of those guys can lose. And then one of them loses and one of them wins. And you find out, what do they do after that? I'm very excited for Bron Breakker. I want him to keep on getting wins because I don't want them to immediately give him a title shot off of losing the IC title. But I liked what we saw to Bron Breakker here. It was more about Bron Breakker than it was about Jey Uso, I felt.
Yeah, you know, obviously I was happy to see the changes that they made, or rather the adjustments that they made to the Intercontinental Championship to fit more of Jey Uso's style with the blue and the championship. That looked really nice. He looked big time, man, coming out there with, you know, his normal entrance where he goes through the crowd. It's pink yeet glasses. Dude looked like a star. All of that was great. The promo itself wasn't good because, yeah, like you said, it did look like he got lost during that promo. I thought, like, either he's trying to sell this as being really serious, yeah, but it's taking just a little bit too long. Like, I get trying to make something feel like a bigger deal, but, yeah, it felt like we took forever to get there. When Bron Breakker came out, I had a feeling like, okay, maybe he's going to go out there and say, you have my respect. And I wasn't so sure. And then he did. And I liked that because that basically told me, okay, he's done with the Intercontinental Championship picture and he's moving on into a different direction, as well as for Jey Uso, we should be seeing him defend that title with some new faces, with some people that we hopefully haven't seen him work against before. And so I thought that the segment once Bron Breakker came out was really great because it basically told us, okay, we're set and done here. They respect each other and they're both moving a different direction. When we did get that Bron Breakker Gunther segment backstage, I was so surprised that it was happening already. I don't know about you, but I kind of felt like we got here like pretty fast. Maybe not. I don't know. I guess I wasn't ready to talk about Bron Breakker and the World Heavyweight Championship just yet. I think we've all known that it's in the horizon. We all know it's coming, but I guess I just wasn't prepared for it today. And so sure, it really took me by surprise, but in a good way. And I was so excited about that. And I wonder what that will look like, because Gunther gets everybody in terms of when he's in the ring, people really, really like him. However, this Sami Zayn feud hasn't necessarily been the best. And I feel that has maybe had some people lose a little bit of interest in Gunther, because Gunther's not really like a big personality guy, right? He's not huge on that. He's a little bit more calm, a little bit more tame in that perspective, in terms of like really showing his personality. And I feel like sometimes that could lose people. So I don't know. I'm curious to see if this Bron Breakker thing is going to happen like right after Bad Blood. Like, are we going to go right into it? I don't know.
Jonathan Cronin says, you know, being at Raw last week in Ontario, watching the Jey match in person was awesome. It was electrifying. Happy for Jey to win in his home state of California. It was a very good moment. I came home, saw that right after that Bengals game, and man, it was such a great finish to WWE Raw. And listen, whether you're in Ontario or you're heading to Mexico like Jonathan Corona did a couple months ago, or heading to Japan like he is now, Nord has you covered.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
An update on Danielson Okada, as Okada is the Continental Champion. I like this. Continental title matches are 20-minute time limits. So if it goes over 20 minutes, it's only for the AEW World title. If it ends in under 20 minutes, it is for both titles. I like that. Kingslayer says,
That's different.
Yeah, it is. Kingslayer says, LOL, Denise, why do you wear shoes on stream?
Okay, first of all, I think it's creepy of our to come on here and not wear shoes. I'm sorry. I wear shoes to all my streams. It doesn't matter if I'm up at 6 a.m. or if I'm here at 9 o'clock. I am going to wear shoes on the stream.
Listen, after we figured out on the air that Denise has a wiki feet, I've got to agree with you. I've got to agree with you because...
Dude, I haven't checked my wiki feed page in a long time, but I know that shit's popping.
Let's check it right now.
No, do not check my wiki feed.
Right now.
Stop it. You've already done that before.
Let's see what the rating is these days.
Did my rating go down? I don't need that.
You were like a 4.9 back in the day, weren't you? Is that what we...
It ruined my confidence if my rating went down.
It's still like at a good 4 and almost 5 star on there.
So what is it? 4 point what?
So here are the ratings. Beautiful, nice, okay, bad, ugly. You have only 3 ugly, 3 bad. You have 15 okay, 18 nice, and 59 beautiful, Denise.
I have 3 ugly?
See, that's typical you. Next time you all see me arguing with a troll on Twitter, I don't want to hear y'all say shit. I don't want to hear you say, you focus on the negative. Did you hear that? Denise has like 59 beautiful, and all she's worried about is the 3 ugly.
I'm sorry, but like, what would make people vote an ugly? Like, what? It's not like I have moles on my feet or some weirdo shit.
Ugly ass feet. That's why.
All right. I do not justify. I know. I'm going to write a letter. Remove those 3 ugly votes.
I just want to know.
This pisses me off. Like, first of all, why are you even on the website looking for beautiful or ugly feet? And if they're ugly, just get out. Hey, everybody who voted ugly.
3 uglies and 3 bads.
First
as well.
Of all, can I just say another thing? It's not even like they had a great view, okay?
If the view
would have been like perfect and they could see everything, then okay, fine, go vote ugly. But if you could barely even see,
listen,
you should not be voting ugly.
I'm just saying there's plenty of them on there where people can see.
Okay, no, they cannot. Okay.
Yeah. Denise, listen, I'm sitting here on it now.
But I'm not saying it's like full on, like you can see my feet like this on the screen.
Anyway, what's your shoe size? That information is not publicly available on there.
I'm not going to say my shoe size so some freak could... What can you even do with that? If I did say my shoe size, what do you do with that? You're going to go grab a size, my size shoe and sniff it? What are you going to do with that information?
I don't know.
Grab a ruler and imagine it? What do you do with that information?
All right, then. Xavier Woods defeated Rey Mysterio. The finish of this match was phenomenal, I thought. Xavier Woods, it appears, accidentally rips off Rey Mysterio's mask. It got a great reaction from the crowd. And then he rolls up Rey for the pin while Rey is covering his face. I thought this was a fantastic finish, Denise.
Yeah, it was definitely so. I was going into this match expecting Xavier Woods to actually lose during this because I thought like, oh, he's got to get driven off the edge, blah, blah, blah. That's what I was thinking was going to happen. Him pulling off the mask was not something that I was expecting. And I think they kind of needed to do this because the last couple of weeks I have came on here and said, you know what? Like, even though I know Xavier Woods is supposed to be the heel, he's been kind of bringing up some good points in these backstage segments. Yeah. However, this time when he went back there and Kofi Kingston called him out for taking off the mask of Rey Mysterio. And he's like, you should be congratulating me for defeating somebody like Rey Mysterio. And instead you're, you know, trying to make me feel bad. And I kind of thought, no, you know what? Kofi Kingston's right on this one. He should be mad at Xavier Woods for winning in that fashion. And so I feel like they needed that to really tell the viewer, hey, Xavier Woods, just in case you were on the fence as to whether or not he is the heel in this situation, my friends, he is the heel in this situation.
So an interesting note in between in that conversation in which you were talking about, Kofi says, you know, Jey Uso offered me an Intercontinental title shot. And Xavier was like, that's great. And then Kofi goes, well, yeah, but I think it should be you. And I told him that. So you got an IC title match next week. And Xavier is pumped up. Later on, we see Kofi Kingston lose to Chad Gable. And it was a pretty decent match back and forth. But I love the finish of this too, because Xavier Woods is trying to counteract American made being involved with, by the way, their beautiful American flag, like the brighter colors than what we've seen them wear in the past. It worked out a lot better. But Xavier goes to hold Chad Gable, but as a result, Kofi can't hit Trouble in Paradise. That I think is a really different type of backfired distraction finish. And Chad Gable gets the win. What did you think of that finish in the second and then the Kofi match, and Kofi giving up that IC title match to sort of appease Xavier a little bit?
Did Kofi even see that? Did he even see when Xavier pulled the leg?
It didn't seem like he did. Not in the moment, but he did later, because they were in the background of the Braun Breaker Gunther shot arguing. You couldn't see it if you were just watching those two, but they were deep in the background going off on each other.
Okay, see, I didn't even see that. I was so excited about Braun and Gunther that I did not see them backstage. But that's what I was thinking about during this while I was watching this. I was wondering when Kofi Kingston was actually going to see what had happened, because he didn't see the first time that it actually did. But even before the finish, though, I really liked the match with him and Chad Gable. I thought they had a unique matchup. Like, all of the ways and they were trying to find a way to pin each other, I thought was so fun. And I don't want that match to go under the radar because of the story, because it was very, very unique. And I feel like, I don't know, that was fun. That was really fun to watch.
I'm invested in this story. One thing I would like to see taken out of wrestling: the ankle lock counter that I have witnessed for the last 20 years, 25 years.
I love it. No.
The roll through.
Yeah, I love it.
It doesn't work, Denise.
I love it.
Denise, I have watched 100 act. It's called a toe hold in catch wrestling. Like 100 of those applied. You do not just roll through it. You don't. And if you do,
it's fun to see, though.
If you do, the person steps around, grapevines the leg, and just holds it there. It doesn't work. Not a real thing. Mad Montar says, I love when they put two wrestlers against each other where it makes sense for one to lose and the other to win. Advances both their stories. This definitely did advance both of their stories. And, I mean, listen, we're about to go ahead and talk about it because it just makes sense to. But Karrion Kross has been like an underrated like character as far as usefulness on this show. N. Simmons says, I think there's going to be a swerve. Xavier looked surprised, and Kofi's tone was a little gaslighting. The whole QB thing is key because Woods looks horrible leading. Yeah, I mean, Xavier got his win in a bit of a shady manner, which isn't foreign to the New Day. They did that when they first started. They were heels. And then he tried to quarterback Kofi a victory, and it didn't work. I'm with you. I think there might be a little bit of a swerve there. Are you expecting to see the split, or do you think they'll get back together?
They have to deliver the split now, for sure.
Okay. Well, Karrion Kross, if you guys did not see his vignette on Twitter, you need to go watch that vignette. Did you see this, Denise?
No, I didn't.
Of course you didn't. You need to go watch it. No, you need to watch it. It's incredible.
If it's incredible, they should put it on the programming.
Yes, they should. Well, they should have put it on TV.
Because I ain't going to watch it on Twitter.
You should. It's about 3 minutes long. He talks about how he ran through everybody in NXT. And he pinpointed the moment where things went south for him. He showed up in WWE on the main roster after he got drafted, and he got embarrassed very quickly. Why are you rolling your eyes, Denise?
Because I was wondering if he was actually going to mention the moment.
Of course, he did.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He did. And he said, beyond that, not only did he get embarrassed in the ring, he got embarrassed outside the ring because they're like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. Goodbye. See you later. And he fought his way back. And now, even though he's been back, he hasn't gotten a lot of wins lately, but he understands what he needs to do. I thought this was really, really good. Karrion was in the background of a couple different things. He was in the background of Kofi and Xavier talking. And then he was featured in another segment later that we're going to get to now. R-Truth is back. And he tells Miz that he has booked a match with AOP. And Miz is like, AOP? He's like, yeah, I guess. What have they ever what have they ever done? What books have they written? And we get the match, and I gotta say, I disliked the match a lot.
Yeah,
I disliked all due respect to R-Truth. Neither Akam nor Rezar should be taking a back suplex from R-Truth and waiting for the five knuckle shuffle. Absolutely not. Should not be happening. Shouldn't be going on. Man. Miz turns on R-Truth and Karrion Kross is happy. Miz does this with one of the weakest kicks I've ever seen in my entire life, by the way. I have no interest in seeing a Miz and R-Truth team. One of the only things that I am interested in less than that is a Miz and R-Truth feud, Denise. I've got, at this moment, the most interested I was in this was Karrion Kross at ringside. Of the five people involved in that, Truth and Miz were 4 and 5 as to who I was interested in there. I didn't like this.
Sean, I was more interested in the fan eating his nachos in the crowd than any of
the nachos.
No, I made that up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bro, I'm assuming there was a fan eating nachos. I'm happy that you found interest in something. With this, I'm not interested in the Karrion Kross stuff. I'm not interested in the Miz R-Truth stuff. This is just not for me.
Product.
None of it. None of it's for me. I wasn't even interested in R-Truth and the Miz when everybody was interested. I tried. I really, really tried, but just was not for me.
Oh, they held onto that way too long. Like, I was good with the WrestleMania title. Like, that's the reason I said to put them together.
To be honest, I know. Made no difference in my life. Like, I mean, I just was not crazy about it.
to me, they should have lost the titles back on Raw right after that. Like, just move on. But they kept it going way too long. And now with a 2-hour Raw, I'm like, listen, y'all can put this on Main Event if you want. I'd be happy with that. I watch Main Event. Sure, I guess. I don't have a great interest in this. And I like R-Truth a lot. But
This is a pass for me on all accounts.
Sky Pirates call out Bianca and Jade. Sheamus calls out Butch, a.k.a. Pete Dunne, the latter of which is happening on Raw next week in a Donnybrook match. I really like the vignettes for these challenges. It's different. It will be very useful during these 2-hour Monday Night Raws, Denise, because you don't have to trot somebody out, especially a babyface, who gets on the microphone by themselves and says, Pete Dunne, I want to face you in a match. No, just do a vignette. I've always thought that was weird to have a babyface walk out to the ring, like sort of bring the show to a halt and say, I challenge you to a match. Run a camera back there. I like these.
Yeah, I was very excited when they announced this Donnybrook match because I'm such a big fan of Pete Dunne. And so I want to see this here with him and Sheamus. And I know that they're going to get creative. And I think that's the part that I'm most looking forward to. So I thought that was fun. And then I was happy to hear that Kairi and Io challenged Jade and Bianca. Of course, I'm not expecting a title change by any means, but I am expecting a good match. So I'm fine with that as well. So yeah, there really isn't anything else to say. These are two matches that were announced that I know are going to be good. And that's kind of just like the extent of it all.
Luchador says, Sean Ross, our latest catch wrestling aficionado. Not an aficionado, but I came from one of the best catch wrestling schools on the planet and got to spend some time with Billy Robinson and Billy Scott. So rather partial to it. That one we can read in a bit. We got Jonathan Coronis says, also, to guys that paint their toes, look at nail places, get their toes clean. I'm getting my toes cleaned and painted for Japan. Congrats, Jonathan.
Can I just say I applaud that? I think that men should get manicures, okay?
Okay.
I mean,
so,
pedicures. They should get pedicures.
Funny enough, the catch wrestling school I just mentioned is why I started getting mine done, because there are few things grosser than getting kicked right here by somebody with nasty ass toenails. And I was like, I'm never putting somebody through that. Ever.
No, you know what I hate? Whenever I bend down to tie my shoes or pick something up and then I turn around and then there's somebody's foot right there next to my face and then they got ugly toes. Oh, that just happened to me recently. And what's worse is I was like, oh.
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to have that to happen with you because you've got 3 ugly ratings on WikiFeet.
Yeah, and how many beautiful? 59, 56? What was it?
Guys, you know what? Let's set the odds. By the end of tonight, what will Denise's feet ratings be? Maybe our friends can help us out.
For years, you've seen BetOnline AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
Ryan Sully says, hey, SRS, just saw that WWE filed a trademark for yes, yes, yes. If so, that's interesting. Is this legit? Is it WWE getting back at TK for the Lucha Bros? No, it's not them getting back at TK for the Lucha Bros. They tried to send Bryan Danielson a thing where they said that he couldn't use it prior to the Lucha Bros thing. It is legit, though, unfortunately. But it is a little petty. Somebody's asking about the Shelton Benjamin AEW Bound report. Guys, we said that, I think, last Wednesday on Fightful Select as well. We get our vignette that appears to be what many suspect is the War Raiders, as opposed to the Viking Raiders. You excited to see them back potentially as the War Raiders?
Bro, I missed that vignette last week and I missed it this week too.
Do you watch the show?
Yes, I watch the show. Damn.
Denise doesn't watch anything. If she can avoid it, she doesn't watch it.
Oh, yeah. Bro, never mind. I'm not even going to talk anymore. I'm done.
Zoe Stark defeated Lyra Valkyria. Lyra does not have a singles pinfall win on Raw since the Money in the Bank qualifier. And this is a woman who was started off so strong, Denise, that you and I were like, is it too much for the audience? Now she can't get a win to save her life. And they even brought that up before. No Natalya, no Zelina. Why are you pointing at yourself?
First of all, I did not say that. I was on board with Lyra getting skyrocketed from the very beginning. I was so freaking thrilled when she got to the finals of the Queen of the Ring that for a second I thought she might actually win. I was completely sold on that. I feel, and this is just me like, you know, assuming here, but I feel like maybe Becky Lynch stepping away and taking time off might have hurt Lyra because it kind of seemed like there was something going on there. And well, we won't ever know unless she comes back and they pick up on that again. But it feels like right now she's floating around, lost in the roster. They're pairing her up with Kaden and Casey, who've also been floating around, lost on the roster for like a long time. And so for me, I'm looking at this and I'm kind of feeling like this pairing is sort of bringing down Lyra. I wish she was kind of on her own again. And I wish we were seeing a lot more of what we were seeing when she first started on the Raw roster, because she had those great matches with Io Sky that were really good. And she did great in the finals of the Queen of the Ring. And I was very disappointed with this match with her and Zoe, because I know for a fact that both Lyra and Zoe can go. Like, they can go. And I don't feel that was shown here tonight. Like, this was, the match was not anything special. Like, it wasn't good. Like, there wasn't really anything to even talk about in regards to the substance that we got. And I was very disappointed in that, because when I saw that the match was announced, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, this is going to be so great for both Zoe and Lyra, because both of these girls, one, need to keep showing that they're good wrestlers, and two, both of them needed a win. I was honestly, I didn't care who won this match, because truthfully, they both needed it, but I at least wanted them to like be able to show like, shit, like they can actually go here. And I don't feel we saw that in this match.
I would agree. Ryan Sully says, hey, SRS. Hey, Denise. Raw next week is stacked. Am I crazy to worry we get a limited women's match segment moving forward? No, I don't think you're crazy to worry about that, especially how inconsistently they've been booked. It's a concern I've been bringing up for a long time. You need to build up contenders from underneath. Right now, the women's title match is more about a guy than it is the women competing for it at times. And I want to see contenders developed. I want to see supplemental stories. I actually like what's going on SmackDown right now, Meechin and Chelsea Green. Unfortunately, the reality is those women have been getting a lot of time cut from their stuff of late. I would like to see more of a focus on developing contenders from underneath. And I do worry that with 1 hour less, that's probably not going to happen. You're probably going to see more of the same of what we've been seeing. We did see Kaden and Katana return, and Katana returning with a face mask on to save Lyra, and then Unholy Union confronted Kaden and Katana. It's good to see them back. I hope their direction is defined as well, because the tag team division needs that. Pretty much what it is these days is 50-50 booking, get a title shot, go back to 50-50 booking. What are you expecting out of Kaden and Katana, and what do you think of their return?
I'm not expecting really much anything right now, because they've done this to them several times. Like, they do this all the time. They bring them back. We don't see them for however long. And then they bring them back again. And then we don't see them forever long. That this is nothing new. Like, we've seen this play out a bunch of times. Like, I already know what to expect. Nothing, unless they actually do something with them. But I don't really see it right now.
Guys, get your super chats, get your humper chats in. A reminder, anything that we make this week, I will donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund. We have Judgment Day defeating facing the LWO. How'd you feel about this one, Denise?
Oh, man. I didn't think they needed. Okay, so they had Finn Balor go out there and help out the Judgment Day, right? So he had said that he was not there.
He was on the road. They were in a nice little spot where they were promoting the toy
Lowrider
for the Dominic thing. It was a clever spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like them kind of hanging outside of, doing something a little different. But yeah, so they had said Finn Balor wasn't there and then he came and I was like, really? All that just for that? I didn't think we needed the Finn Balor stuff. I will shout Finn Balor out for his great Spanish that he did during his promo. His accent was tremendous. It was great. It was great. But the promo itself, everything else was just, it's just so corny. It's just so corny. Like, I need cool Finn Balor again. And I don't want Finn Balor with the Judgment Day anymore. I'm so over that. I want Finn Balor to just go back and be cool, the cool freaking wrestler that we all know and love. And hopefully we get to see the demon return at some point. But I feel like he just comes across as very corny in these Judgment Day promos. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the delivery of the promos. Hell, I don't know if it's just the association with the Judgment Day. I'm not really sure what it is anymore, but it hasn't for the longest time. I have felt this way about the recent iteration of Finn Balor. And Finn Balor used to be cool. I want to get that Finn Balor back. And I don't know how to get there, but that's essentially what I would like to see. And I've been feeling this way now for like over a year, I feel. This is not the first time I've said this. And I just feel like I was kind of excited when we were going into this feud with Damian Priest and Finn. But it's just feeling like, I don't know, like I take Damian Priest really seriously, but I don't take Finn as seriously as I take Damian Priest seriously.
I would, first off, I thought their work was good in this match, as can be expected from these guys. I really want to see Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio as a team. I will say it over and over and over again. I think that's the best use of them. I think it would help get Dragon Lee over really, really well. Judgment Day cuts a promo post-match. Rhea and Liv brawl on the ramp, and Judgment Day lay out Damian. It was cool to also see on the live event loop, which are becoming more and more special. You see them. It was Rhea and Damian teaming against Cross and Scarlett. Scarlett hadn't wrestled in over a year, but WWE does not do live events nearly as much now. So it's really cool to see like the footage emerge from these live events when they're not happening very often, and you see just a different type of show. I think the social media age has sort of made those a little bit more special as well, but the beatdown happens. Do you feel any particular way about this? Rhea did say that she was going to make Dominic shit his pants and then wipe his own ass with his face because he is on toilet paper, which Joe Tessitore even was like, why are people spending $13 for this?
I know.
It was something, but hey, listen, wise of them to sell that. They worked up that Dominic is claustrophobic, but yeah, that we've seen this shark cage a couple times in the past. Paul Heyman a few years ago, and then Jerry Lawler way back in the day in the 90s. How are you feeling about this as we go to Bad Blood?
Sean, are you claustrophobic?
I would say yes. I'm not in claustrophobic situations much, but yeah, I would say yes.
Would you be claustrophobic in that shark cage?
No.
Thank you. That's all I was asking. I didn't like that they kept trying to say that Dominic was going to be claustrophobic. They had Rhea say it in her promo. Then they said it on commentary. And I'm like, wouldn't he technically be afraid of heights in this situation?
That is exactly what I think. It'd be more, if it were enclosed, it'd be more of like a breathing thing. When it's that, I'd be like, okay, I don't want this to fall and, break into a million pieces.
That's what I was thinking about during this promo. I'm like, someone should have just double checked that because, dude, there's these big ass bars. He could breathe. He's fine. Yeah. I highly doubt he's going to be claustrophobic in that. So that was my big like little irk thing that I had there. But other than that, I like the little attack on the one that we were seeing on the stage with Rhea and Dom, and then Liv coming in and helping out the four against one with Damian Priest. I thought was fine too. Everything else was cool. It was just that was the only thing that really stood out to me though, where I was thinking like, why would he be claustrophobic inside of this shark cage? What are we talking about?
We got the Wyatt's vignette. Who do you think their next target is? It seems like they're done with American Made. I'm thinking,
because don't they come after people that are like mean?
Maybe. I'm thinking Xavier Woods or Cross and AOP.
What about The Miz for taking out R-Truth?
Miz could be one as well. I could see that happening. Because they're baby faces. They are not heels. So I could see it being Miz or Cross and AOP. That one makes an awful lot of sense to me. We have the Gunther promo, and this is after Sami Zayn had cut one as well. And Matt Logan says, is Sami the most gun on Saturday or next week? I'll need you to clarify, and our moderator, Luis, will get your clarification as to what that means. But I really liked Gunther's work and Sammy's work here. How'd you feel about this promo as we get into it? Gunther says that his dad flew all the way around the world to watch him lose to Sammy and then said, you lost to that bum. And then Sammy was like, oh, you're this emo over your dad being pissed at you. And he got his match, and it's going to be on Raw next week.
All right, so there was one thing I didn't like, one thing I did like, and one thing that didn't make too much sense. So The first thing was the thing that I didn't like that also didn't make much sense either was I'm tired of them making it seem like Sami Zayn is a loser, like he never gets things done. Because off of my head, just really quickly, WrestleMania 39, what did we see? Sami Zayn win the tag team titles with his best friend, Kevin Owens, standing tall. Okay, fast forward, he wins the title, the Intercontinental title from Braun Breaker. Those are just two things, but they're big, big moments that Sami Zayn pulled through. So I feel like doing the underdog story with Sami Zayn constantly is tired already. So I didn't really care for that portion of it. The part that I did like was the part about the father, where we basically found out that Gunther has some daddy issues and Sami Zayn basically brought them to light. I loved that part. That was my favorite part. The part that confused me a little bit, or rather not confused me, but they should have just when Sami Zayn told Gunther, you know, about his dad and all of that, and Gunther saying like, oh, he about his reputation and not wanting to lose to Sami Zayn again and his dad not being proud of him, blah, blah, blah. All of that's fine. But then we all forgot something huge. Gunther won the World Heavyweight Championship after he lost to Sami Zayn, lost the Intercontinental Championship. So wouldn't by that mean that his dad would kind of have been over that already and he would have been proud of his son for winning the World Heavyweight Championship? So those were just some tweaks that I would have probably done differently. I do like the dad stuff. I thought that was good. But there was just some things that I think could have been tweaked a little bit.
I thought this ended up really good. I'm so glad they had him beat Ludwig Kaiser as well, because there was just something that didn't sit great with me of him losing two straight IC title matches and then going straight to world title match. I just don't like that. Him beating Ludwig Kaiser was enough for me. And then you have the built-in, okay, well, he won at WrestleMania. I'm cool with that. Also, the Braun Breaker thing, I'm very excited about that, to see how that plays in, because Braun has a history with Sami Zayn as well, but maybe Sammy's got his respect in the same way. N. Simmons says, I'm so over Judgment Day. Liv looks weak and the feud has run its course. Please put Finn with the Good Brothers or that cool NXT type heel he was before. I don't think you should do a retread of anything Finn has done before. I wasn't in love with the NXT stuff, but I think that he is such a useful personality and character. And I mean, obviously, he's going to be there for a very long time. He's re-signed with WWE for years to come. But I don't want them to retread anything that they've done prior. I don't want that. Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, we have the silver cage again, Denise. Now, we had this last year for the Edge Finn Balor match, but you know, when it's a Raw match, you wonder, how's that going to work? Drew McIntyre cuts a promo talking about CM Punk, and very, very calculated promo. CM Punk says that Drew McIntyre has made him out to be the fictitious boogeyman that all of his worst critics make him out to be. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I think he's just kind of playing off the personality beats that we have grown to see on screen, off screen, all that type of stuff. Where'd you land on this promo? I thought it was a good segment here.
All right. So aside from the boogeyman line, that wasn't the best. But what I did, but I did love the CM Punk promo. I did. I really did. And I had one big favorite part in this. And it was, because here's the thing. Like, we're going into the Hell in a Cell, right? This feud has been ongoing for 10 months now. So they really have found just about every single possible way to stretch this thing out. But things have gotten ugly between Drew and CM Punk. I mean, Drew literally laid out CM Punk's body to the Chicago crowd when he beat him up backstage, like, so gruesomely, and then, you know, shoved beads down his freaking mouth. I mean, this got in really ugly. We know CM Punk has cost Drew McIntyre a bunch of really matches, a great opportunities has cost him that. So things have gotten really ugly between them. We're going into a Hell in a Cell match, and you are mentioning people's wives. You are mentioning all of this stuff. So you gotta really, really be willing to go above and beyond, right? So when CM Punk said, and this was my favorite part, when he said that he had not been staying with AJ Lee, that he's been staying in a hotel for the past 4 weeks, why? Because of the man that he has become due to everything that has happened with Drew McIntyre. He said he did not want his wife to see him this way. And I thought, oh, that is so freaking good, because now you got me excited to see this really pissed off dude, this really pissed off man, go into this Hell in a Cell. If you are so ashamed to even, like, you don't even want your wife to see you acting this way, then you know it's gonna be good. So I loved that part. And I love when CM Punk told Drew McIntyre that he's not gonna pray to the devil, he's not gonna pray to God, he's gonna pray to CM Punk. And I really like that. I almost wish that he would have said that. I really wish that he would have said that he was going to be praying to CM Punk to have some mercy on him, because that was the only way that he was going to even dare walk out of this alive. So I wish they would have added that part, but damn, that part about him praying to CM Punk, I thought was really good. Yeah, so I thought they did a great job, both of them. You know, Drew went out there in all black, CM Punk went out there in white, so that contrast was pretty cool too. And the fact, like, there was no violence at this moment. It was more so of like, we understand why we're here. We got all these security guards out there. And I thought they were going to just like start fucking fighting like right then and there, but they didn't. You did not hear that. I'm skipping past it. And I thought that they were going to do that, but they didn't. And it kind of made things a lot more. The fact that they didn't go after each other kind of made it a lot more serious. Like, oh, they really understand that they have to give it all and save and give it their all in the Hell in a Cell. So I was really excited about, I'm excited about how they made me feel heading into the Hell in a Cell.
I really liked Drew McIntyre saying, you know what, after this, probably your wife's going to leave you as well.
That was good too. I was like, damn, you don't just say that. Like, who says that? That's so mean. It's great.
Then we got it, the match I've been waiting for, Last Monster Standing. They built this up throughout the night. They had a tail of the tape. Denise, I have been begging since you have been on this show for a Peter Griffin versus the Chicken feud. It's worked well enough to the point to where they main evented a WWE Raw with it and have set up a situation where Braun Strowman wins and Bronson Reed has an even bigger feud coming out of it. This match is what you would think. They go through tables. There is a spot where Bronson Reed does a Death Valley driver off of this thing through a table. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Watching Braun Strowman run is the most hilarious thing I have ever.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First scene, have you ever watched Men in Black?
No. What? Sean, speak. Fine, you don't want to talk, neither am I. We're just gonna have a bunch of dead air. Dead air, Sean. Dead air.
You have never watched Men in Black.
No, I have not seen Men in Black. Now,
Denise,
what? I'm not going to watch it.
What are we doing here?
What?
What did you watch on TV?
Nothing. I watch nothing. I just sit there and I stare at the wall.
You are the person who only watches wrestling on
no,
TV, aren't
I
you?
Just watch things that are different from other people.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I like to watch other
What are you watching? The infomercials at 3 a.m.? Are you like watching the new Shark
HSN fan? Yes.
You're looking at these juice mixers and vacuum cleaners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Juice mixer Denise Salcedo. Exactly. I'm sorry. Doesn't look interesting to me.
Have you ever seen Toy Story?
You know, I've heard about it one time, but I've never seen it. You're actually buying that, Sean? Of course I've seen Toy Story.
I was buying it. I was buying it.
I was going to say, just quiz me, see what anyway, I've seen or not seen. I'm sorry.
For those that actually watch stuff.
Sean, have you seen Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah, of course
have.
Have
you seen Sense and Sensibility? Have you seen Little Women? Have you seen Seven-Year Itch? I was like, we just watch different stuff. I'm sorry.
Little Women. Do you mean the 90, like the one from a few years ago?
There's multiple versions of Little Women.
Sure there is. There's two of them. I just haven't watched
there's
either
like
one of them.
There's five of them. You haven't watched not one Little Women?
No.
You see what I mean? So why do I got to watch Men in Black if you haven't even seen Little Women?
Listen, I'm willing
like
to
I
bet.
Said, what I'm saying here is that you and everybody else here thinks that I have to watch the same exact shows that all these other people are watching when I watch different things.
I guarantee you that one Men in Black movie made more money than all of the Little Women movie all those combined, all of them.
So that's what it's all about, just that? You don't care about the substance and the story?
There's an incredible amount of substance in Men in Black.
Oh, I definitely don't think that it's better than Little Women.
It's definitely better than Little Women. It's about Galaxy Defenders.
I can tell you that it's definitely not a great moral story like it is with Little Women. Little Women's deep. Have you seen The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants? Huh?
You watch some real bad stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry that I just don't watch the stuff you watch. Like, what is that one dumbass movie you made me watch with the fucking snakes and sprinklers and that dumb little movie
Joe
that
Dirt.
You watch. Joe Dirt. You watch freaking Joe Dirt, okay? Joe Dirt.
Oh, God. You did watch it.
You made me watch that crap. After that, I'm done watching what you watch. I watch different movies. I did watch Midsommar. Did you watch Midsommar?
Not yet.
I'm sorry. So who's the clueless one now? Midsommar was like one of the most talked about movies out there for like the longest time. I'm done.
I'm not big into those movies.
And you know what? Call Will Washington's ass right now and ask him if he's seen Titanic. He hasn't even seen Titanic. And he's out here crying because I haven't watched Breaking Bad.
I'm not big into like folk horror films like Midsommar.
I'm not big on these. What other things that you've mentioned? Okay, you know, there's more than one genre of things.
Giant blockbusters.
I'm sorry, there are some movies that I just don't have any interest in seeing.
JM,
I have different taste.
JM says he wants a Fightful Movie Club with Denise. I mean, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Good for you, I guess.
Have you seen Sex in the City? The movies and the TV shows?
I've seen the show. I didn't watch the movies.
See, you're missing out. Sex in the City, the movies.
Nah, I don't think that I am.
Well, I don't think I'm missing out on Men in Black.
You are definitely missing out on Men in Black.
I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of shit you haven't seen. Bro, what was that one movie that I recently recommended and you hadn't even watched it and you recently watched it not too long ago? Oh, yeah. There was a bunch. There was Con Air you hadn't seen and then you
Con
watched
Air
it after
sucked.
I recommended it. Con Air was fun. Con Air was fun. All right. It did not suck. It was fun. I'm just mad because anyway,
okay.
It's the meat match.
I was talking about it. Braun Strowman runs like Edgar walks in Men in Black. That was the point. Oh my God. We'll get to the super chat afterwards. Somebody says WWE filed to trademark Yes, Yes, Yesterday. Petty. We talked about that earlier. It is petty. But this match ends with a couple of insane spots. You got Braun Strowman diving onto a group of people that are trying to keep Bronson Reed from attacking Adam Pearce. And Braun climbs up to the top rope. And speaking of Toy Story, I wouldn't say he flies, but he falls with style onto all these people. And then they superplex and break the ring. A little bit of a delay on the ring break, but still fun. I still love it. And as the referee is counting to 10, Seth Rollins returns, stomps, and then Braun gets the win. And Seth Rollins is back, thankfully back. Not a moment too soon. I loved this. I thought this was great. I was shocked Braun got the win, but it makes sense moving forward with what Bronson Reed did to Seth Rollins, Denise.
Yeah, I was not expecting Seth Rollins in any of this. So I was very thrilled when he came back, which obviously everybody was like, oh, yeah, because that one time that he squashed him like a bug with those 1 million tsunamis that he hit on Seth Rollins. So that was definitely a huge moment. Everybody was waiting for the ring breaking. They got what they wanted. So that was very cool. The Death Valley Driver that you mentioned already on the production area, that was great. The barricade spots was a little goofy with the plants and then sending them the securities. I thought that was kind of silly because if fans would have legitimately gotten injured, then you would have sended out some medics, not securities. What are the securities going to do? Like, what's Bronson Reed's going to go freaking power bomb the fan? That's stupid. Send in a freaking medic. That was my other little irk. I was like, bro, let's think about this for an honest second. If you're really trying to sell me on this, so like, make it as believable as possible. But whatever, that doesn't even matter. That was the only part that I didn't really care for in the match was them making a whole big hoorah about the fans getting hurt because it's like, come on, I'm not 2 years old anymore. Come on, don't try to trick me like that. So everything else was great, though. The barricade spots, like I said, was good. Him putting him through the commentary table, that was great. But again, when Seth Rollins came out, that was a really cool way to have a Braun Strowman win without making Bronson Reed look, you know, lame or anything. And like, it was fine. Like, it was a good defeat because at the end of this, I want to see Bronson Reed rise in this on the show. And I feel like him going up and having this program with Seth Rollins, like, that's going to be the thing that could, you know, make him or break him. So I'm very excited to see him feud with Seth Rollins here.
I am very excited for this feud to kick off. It made sense for Bronson Reed to lose this match because he's moving on to Seth Rollins. It makes sense for Braun Strowman to sort of be finished with Bronson Reed because he got the win. Bronson Reed will probably want revenge one day on Braun Strowman, but for now, he's got his focus elsewhere. And it's a unique situation where three people got over as a result of that main event finish. And I loved it. I loved it. We have our last super chat. Ryan says, SRS, did you tell Denise I think she's cute? I met you last week at Grand Slam. Holla at me. Good God. He says, I wasn't lying. I do watch you wrestling media paparazzi thing. This guy approaches me and says, it's you. And I was like, what? And he had already recognized Alex, Queen of the Ring. And he goes, you're the guy that does the show with the cute chick on YouTube. I watch your bullshit on TV. It's like, hell yeah. And I sent you a picture of him.
So what you're saying is I'm the draw. So Sean, give me another race. Come on. Well, give me another listen,
the reason he called you cute is because he didn't see your feet or else that'd be four uglies chilling on your ratings. Let's go.
Tell the only ugly thing on this stream is your face, Sean.
Doubt it. Give those plugs, Denise.
Man, Gumby bird, what was bird? Big bird looking ass.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm done.
I'm done. Plug your shit, Denise.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo.
Guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have a lot of great news coming this week. on FightfulSelect.com. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be newsworthy week, I think. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.